You need to understand the takeaway from this is having peace and authority into your own personal priesthood, the power that you possess when you pray in your name or in Jesus' name. They're doing it now and they're saying, why do I need to understand that I am a king and priest according to the order of Melchizedek? Well, isn't it just enough for me to know that I'm a king and priest? But why do I have to know the order in which I belong to? Shalom and welcome to the Kurt Landry Podcast. This is a special podcast because we're dealing with a special question that so many of you have asked for. And I've asked Pastor Tim to come in and really bring his expertise into this subject. And the reason it comes up is you hear us in services pray that we are kings and priests according to the order of Melchizedek. And like, what does that mean? That's what you ask. And is it important? So I want to say this. It is very important that you intentionally understand the power of being a king and priest according to whatever order. So a lot of it has to do with a mindset, but also your heart. So, I'll just give you an example. If I'm praying for you and think, just feel this, okay? So I say, okay, I'm praying for you and you have a sickness. And I say, Father God, I ask that you heal this individual in the name of Bob. And you would go, what? See, you're feeling like, no offense to you, Bob. We have a Bob that works for us. But you could say, in the name of Jim. It doesn't make any difference what the name is that you understand there's no power in that and there's no authority because the authority flows through the order of the name of Jesus. And you can feel the difference right there when I say, I pray for healing for you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. So what happens is there's been a change of priesthood that took place when Jesus was water baptized. And what he did is he resurrected the order of Melchizedek. So it's important to know that we're not in Aaron's priesthood as a Kohen or a Levite, which has human roots, but this Melchizedek has deep meaning because Jesus was also a king and priest according to this order. And so I've asked Pastor Tim, we're going to kind of break it down. Should be really interesting for you. But the key is as we peel this onion back, you need to understand the takeaway from this is having peace and authority into your own personal priesthood, the power that you possess when you pray, no different than what I just said, you pray in your name or in Jesus' name. That's all very important. So Pastor Tim, welcome so much to the podcast here today. So let's talk about Melchizedek. What's the first thought? Because I know you after the service, people will come up at House of David and ask questions. If someone was just to come and they're doing it now and they're saying, why do I need to understand that I am a king and priest according to the order of Melchizedek? Well, isn't it just enough for me to know that I'm a king and priest? But why do I have to know the order in which I belong to?
Well, the order always represents, you know, your authority, the ability to tap into the authority of the Lord. And if you don't really know who you are, or where you've come from, or what benefits have been laid aside or set out for you, then how can you tap into that resource? And so the order of Melchizedek is a very important thing as far as understanding where your real authority comes to in this day and age. It's not something that was just about, you know, thousands of years ago that Abraham met the man. It's the identity and the fact that this priesthood, this authority, the order is actually it's a position. And so we need to understand that we have a position of going in and being able to access into the heavenly, into the throne room of heaven, and to have results from our prayers.
Yeah. One of the reasons I really, you know, when I was talking to our staff about this and Megan, one of the reasons they wanted to have this is that the word the Lord's given me for 5785, it is a time that the Lord's going to actually release a double portion of grace, 5785, and bring revelatory empowerment to the king priest anointing. And so I thought this is really good. So let me just say it this way. You've got Abram and he's traveling through Salem, which is actually Jerusalem, and the king of Salem is this Melchizedek. But it's interesting that he's not just a king, he's a king and he's the priest. And I'm going to read some scripture. So if you go into Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, kind of lay a foundation, and it says, "Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God the Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" And it says, "And he gave him a tithe of all." So first of all, Abram had to fight a battle. He had a victory. And then the king priest actually prophesied over him, blessed him, and then he tithed. And what happened is, we don't have to go into the scripture now, we know this, his name was changed. There was an identity change. So after this encounter with the king priest, he's changed to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. So there's a multiplication thing that takes place here. So, and I think it's interesting that he brought out bread and wine. So he is functioning as a type of Messiah, and he's a foreshadower of that. So what's your thoughts on that? I mean, what comes to mind as we're talking about this out of Genesis 14?
You know, it's interesting how the Lord sets up and actually orders the steps of the man that he is going to use to bless all the nations of the earth. You know, Abram was chosen to come out of basically Ur of the Chaldees, the fire of idolatry. He comes and he dwells in a land that's not his, but he's been promised that it's going to be his. And so in that process, he ends up having to separate from everything that he's known before and come into a place that is different than what he's experienced, but he's also coming at the direction of the Lord. And so he ends up having to go into battle. Then he ends up coming to basically the valley, what is called the Valley of the Kings, which is very prophetic. And there he meets a king priest who comes and he brings him basically a covenant meal. Even before he enters into the covenant, it's like the Lord is setting the stage for this covenant that he's going to enter into and change his name to become a father of many nations, even though he is without child at this moment.
Boy, that is really powerful. So it's interesting that, you know, all the symbolism, I could go into the Valley of the Kings, and, you know, which we've planted thousands of olive trees there. And it's pretty interesting, but it's also Jesus himself, when he returns to the Mount of Olives, he's going to pass through.
Yeah.
The types and shadows of, you know, people who doubt the Bible and say, no, it's a fable. How in the world could you write these things and then these prophetic patterns keep happening the same way over and over and over again? So let's do this. I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5, and it says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but it was he who said, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says another place, 'You are priests forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" So why is this Melchizedek connection, and why isn't, like, Jesus, let's say, I know the answer to this, but I want to ask the question. You know, we know that Jesus is the high priest of our sanctuary. Why do we have to understand that there is a connection to Melchizedek? Why do we have to understand that?
I think the fact of what is the writer here of the book of Hebrews is trying to make points that, you know, there's differences in priesthoods, but this one was a unique priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood was a unique one. Unlike, as you mentioned earlier, the Aaronic priesthood, this one, when it says it was a priest who continued forever, that he was not limited in his ability. You know, Melchizedek is actually more of a title than it is a name. You know, he's a king of righteousness. And there's only one real king of righteousness. And so for the Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, to make mention to us as a believer, it's understand that we have a king of righteousness who is there for us, but not only as the king of righteousness, but he is the high priest that's able to make intercession and to bring us into that same standing of righteousness with our God so that we can stand and have access into the throne of heaven and to have our prayers answered and to be heard. Most important thing is that you know that you're being heard.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw out a thought, okay? I'm just speaking to the camera. This is just my thought, okay? I am not a theologian, but I do study the Word for a lot of years, and I've spent a lot of time. Most of the places that they speak about the experiences with Melchizedek, we've actually had feet on the ground. So, but I'm curious because now we're just having an open, you know, discussion. That's why I like this podcast. I think maybe one of the reasons that he has no lineage, we don't know who his parents are, we don't know when he was born, and we don't know when he dies. Okay, so he's a type of Christ. Okay, so let's take it this way, because you've been to the spot. You've been to the Jordan River on the border between Israel and Jordan. We went with soldiers. Israeli soldiers took us down. We had Jordanian soldiers on the other side, all with M16s. And here's this crazy group of House of David people immersing at the very place that Jesus was immersed into by John the Baptist. And so when he went in, when he was immersed, baptized, he wasn't immersed or baptized because of sin. He was sinless. He said to John, John says, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, and Jesus said, that we might make things right. So in the water at the place that we actually went in, there were 12 stones, and the 12 stones were paying honor to the 12 tribes who had wandered in the wilderness and crossed over finally after 40 years into the promised land. Okay? That event and that history was finished by Aaron's priesthood, the Levites, the Kohens. And so what Jesus is doing is he is coming, he is a king and a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So he's taking his temple, he's going down into the water, and what he's doing is he's honoring that past priesthood of the Levites, and now he's saying, I'm coming up in a resurrection of this Melchizedek priesthood, which this Melchizedek priesthood has no birth, no lineage, so we're not even sure if he's Jewish or not. I mean, Melchizedek could be a goyim. I'm not here to debate it, but scripturally, you can't prove that he's Jewish or non-Jewish. You don't know where he came from. You don't even know when he died. So the point is, Jesus has chosen to identify with that priesthood versus identifying with the Levites. He's not a Levite. That's why he didn't become a Pharisee or a Sadducee, okay? He's of the tribe of Judah. So here he comes, all this happens. And could it be, my question is this, could it be because when Jesus died on the cross, the middle wall of separation of the temple for the priestly work, the non-Jews had no access into the temple or the Holy of Holies. And so what happened is that was reserved only for these priests. So now you have this sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who identifies according to this Melchizedek priesthood. You have him coming, and what he does is his blood removes the middle wall of separation, creating himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, giving the Gentiles an access to not only into the Holy of Holies, but also, as it says in Psalms, and I have called you to be priest forever according to the Melchizedek. So everyone that calls on the name of the high priest Jesus is actually grafted in to the identity as the king of, to the, this king of Melchizedek. That's why I think this is so important to understand that there's a shift of a priesthood from basically legalistic 613 instructions. Everything's not that it's done away with, but the requirement of it's done, because when this Lamb of God, that's part of this resurrected righteousness priesthood that actually birthed every other tribe, because Abram tithed to Melchizedek and became Abraham, birthed all the tribes of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's very important to understand that the covenant restoration of the multiplication of the Jewish people, that the restoration and the multiplication of the Gentiles happened in that river. And when he said it is finished, that was the activation of, all right, now there's a new priesthood on the earth and everything is subject to my blood and my name. So yeah. am I tracking here?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the thing is that when Jesus came up, you know, he was conversing with John before he went down and said, we have to fulfill righteousness. You know, and so that's one of the things, it's no accident that Melchizedek is the king of righteousness. So Jesus is saying everything that was limited in the priesthood of man because of, you know, the priest would always have to offer a sacrifice for himself before he could go in and do minister for the people as well. Now, it says we have the ability to have a priest who is a sinless priest, who has a really a better standing, a higher name than any other. And so that gives us a better standing because we get grafted in by the blood of Jesus, and then we're brought in underneath that priesthood, and we become literally kings and priests with him. That gives us that same standing. It's as if we had not committed the sin. It says, you know, we are righteousness. When the Lord looks at us, all he views is that righteousness that Christ fulfilled for us. So when he said it is finished, he means it's finished.
Yeah. I want to say this to you. I want you to follow me here. One of the reasons this is a revelation I received in the 90s, And I'll share with you how I got pressured into it. Okay, so I'm newly saved. We're involved in the Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people, getting airplanes out of Boeing Field and high level stuff, hundreds of millions of dollars, moving back and forth in ministry. And so I am not a preacher. I'm not a rabbi. I am a fruit broker, businessman dealing with other business people doing ministry at a high level. And so what happened is the people that were kind of mentoring us at that time were really heavy on the king priest thing, because I can tell you that when I was brokering the deals that I was brokering, I wasn't in there as a pastor. I wasn't in there as a priest. I was Kurt, the business guy, doing everything I know as a businessman to communicate to get deals closed. When we brokered the ship with in 2004 with Finance Minister Netanyahu at the time, I'm not in there as a pastor. He wouldn't even have talked to me. I was in there because they vetted me. They knew I was a broker. So I understood all the bills of lading and everything that was necessary to do. That's what I did for a living. So my point is, at the same time, my heart was as a priest, because I prophesied over people. I prayed for people. I laid hands on the sick and they got healed. But at the same time, I'm doing all this heavy duty business side brokering, negotiating with the foreign minister, not the foreign minister, but the finance minister, then Bibi Netanyahu. So my point is, I was wearing two hats, and the Lord told me there will be a season. He prophesied to me in the 90s. He said, there's going to be a season where people are going to have to be king priest and not priest. And so then when I started working and interacting with the church, and I'll say this as kind as I can, one of the reasons I struggle sometimes working with pastors and church people is because they lack business skills. They're not entrepreneurial. My mind's very entrepreneurial. If you bring a problem to me, I'm spiritually going to take it to the Lord. But next, I'm going to go into my business mindset and say, how do we fix this? Okay. And so if you're not king entrepreneurial minded, you have to read books. You have to understand how that business world works. And so you don't see people teaching people that in seminary, that you teach them how to run a church. Well, we have a church. Church business is nothing like the other businesses that I'm involved in. You know, that's a very different little culture and how you run it. So my point is that the reason I'm bringing this up on this 5785 is the Lord told me this is the year for the king priest. So I'm speaking to you about this because you need to understand that the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to start downloading you and prophetic words spoken over you, and you're going to have to develop your entrepreneurial business king side and your spiritual side. Because that's who's going to be in the limelight, so to say, going forward. The world shakers between now and the return of Jesus are going to be king priests. It's the anointing of David. It's like, okay, you've been under the bondage of Saul long enough. You know, Saul had all his issues is because he did not have the balance of the king priest. You know, he did too many priestly things under his own power and brought a curse upon him, his family, and Israel. And so what happened with David, David was anointed by Saul to be a king priest. So he had a mantle. So what I'm speaking to you right now is you are anointed by King David, the King of Kings of King David, who sits on the throne of David, and that's Yeshua, Jesus, who is a king and a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So you need to understand that that's what abides in you. That power abides in you. And right now, to usher in and to align this mess of this world in order to have the greatest harvest of souls in the history of the world, it's going to be king priest. Because he's not interested. People aren't coming to church like they used to. You have to go out to the highways and the hedges so that the Lord's house might be filled. You have to go to the seven mountains of influence, operating like I did in that first really 9-year period of my life, where I was a broker operating as a prophet. I was broker prophet and went into, I was in the fruit business. It's probably one of the most corrupt in market business is that. And believe me, so how do you walk in that? But that season, I can tell you, I feel it in my spirit. We're coming back to that. So I think the Lord's wanting to awaken us to that. I want to read this scripture as we segue into this is in Hebrews chapter 7. And it says, for Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Returned from the slaughter. See, this is a season where you're going to have to learn how to do spiritual warfare. You're not slaughtering people or places, but you are. The Lord has given you power and authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. I like what Chuck Pierce is prophesying about this year, is it's time for the believers to remove the evil altars. And that's what's happening here. But the evil altars will be removed inside these seven mountains of influence. So you got to have feet on the ground. It says to also Abraham, who gave a tenth of all of his first being translated to the king of righteousness, and then also to the king of Salem, meaning king of peace. And it goes on to say here what we were discussing, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor of life. This is New Testament. But made like a son of God, remains a priest continually. And so it goes on to say, now to consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. So there's something about this revelation of king priest that I think that we need to ask the Lord to bring to us today, even in this podcast. For the listeners who are saying, listen, I need to get a hold of this in a grip. How do I apply this revelation or this mindset of king priest in my life? Pastor Tim, what would you say to them?
Well, one of the things that stands out in this is that, you know, we've always been taught you could be one or the other. You could be a king.
Exactly.
Or you could be a priest. But never the fact that as this order states, you can be a king and a priest. You can be involved in the business. You can be involved with financial things. You can be involved with government issues. And still, you can also remain as a priest to be able to go in and make intercession. One of the most important things, I think, right now for the believer is to be able to go in to stand in the gap and be the intercessor, to be the priest, as Joel says, that, you know, spare your people, O God. Mm-hmm. There's an intercession that needs to be taking place from the child of God to be able to go in and know that you have access into the throne room, that your prayers are heard, that your high priest is standing in the gap for you, but also for those prayers that you're offering up, to see change happen in the atmosphere, to see change happen in the culture. We are in desperate need of people standing for what's right, for the righteousness of God, and not shirking back and being silent in this hour.
Well, so I want to get, you know, people, you know, just to understand this, that, you know, we've been together like over 20 years, but you're operating in a king priest anointing, because what happens is you, as a farmer, obviously you have to pray. I mean, you live in unirrigated land in Northeast Oklahoma. So you have to have rain, you have to have favor from storms, tornadoes, all the stuff that we have here. And so you have learned from your father and grandparents and everyone else how to be able to be a priest and pray over the land and to serve God and to believe God by faith. You have what I call farmer faith, which is farmer faith. I know that it's not in the Bible, but there should be a translation in Hebrew, farmer faith, which means faith that is beyond faith. So you have to have, you know, we've been together long enough, and it's farmer faith. But at the same time, you have to be able to negotiate with the fertilizing companies. You have to negotiate with John Deere. You have to do, you have to take, pay taxes. You have to have balance sheets. You have to have pay employees. I mean, you're still, you're functioning as a king entrepreneurial. It's business. It's business. It's big business. So you've got, you know, thousands of acres, big business, but at the same time, you're operating as a priest. So you've been doing this, you know, farmers have been doing this all along. But what I really want to stretch to the people, and I want you to understand this, is like people don't take that because you're a lawyer or maybe a doctor. I'm not saying all, or, you know, maybe you're a plumber or you're a housewife, you're taking care of babies. It, you know, whatever. This is the, I want you to prepare yourself to intentionally start mindsetting, I am a king and a priest. Because, and of course, we've operated in our ministry as king priests. We run House of David CLM, not as a church, but as a business. And people have been misunderstood, like, oh, you're just running as a business. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, because it is a business. But it's not like business is a bad thing. You know, here's the thing is, if you're disciplined, you will prosper. If you're not disciplined, you're going to suffer. I didn't make up, this isn't biblical, this is life. And you know, like this woke generation just thinks like, oh yeah, we can be undisciplined and somebody else is gonna take care of us. Well, what happens when we adopt all your principles and the disciplined people aren't disciplined anymore? Where does the money come from? Does it like fall out of the sky? So there has to be some people who are responsible. And that responsibility is, it begins with money. The Lord says, if I can trust you with little, which is mammon, I can trust you with much. But we need to understand that our world, our planet, our nations are in trouble. And if we're going to remain relevant and alive, we're going to have to start turning back to the Lord, functioning in his heights, his ways, as king's priest. You know, God is basically the king of the universe, but he's also the priest of the universe. And so in closing, what would your advice be if you'd look into that camera, Pastor Tim, as a pastor and as a king priest for all these years, what would be the simple mindset, like if you were counseling someone to say, this is, what's the baby step they can take to start thinking of themselves as a king priest?
Needing to understand who you belong to, what group you have been grafted into. The most important thing is that, you know, the King of Kings made a way for you to come and become a son or a daughter. Your identity is key. The fact that you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you are a son of the creator of the universe, speaks volumes as far as who you are, what's available to you, the resources that are available to you. As a king, you know, a king is not afraid of anything or anyone. He has the authority to go in and make choices and decisions. As a priest, you have the authority of being able to go in and have access to go into the king himself, the creator of the universe, the God of heaven, and to go in and have your prayers and your petitions heard, and then you get the results. You see it. So that's the most important thing, is that you have the opportunity and you have the resources that's available to you to go in and access as king and priest into the heavenly realm to see the results that you need in your life.
Amen. So anyway, I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to have Pastor Tim pray a blessing over you. And, you know, it's interesting to see how he was raised basically in a Pentecostal type household that came from an apostolic root. And now he's been one new man for all these years, and how important that is. But I'm going to ask him to pray a blessing over you to make that transition in your mind and in your heart to being the king and priest that the Lord has called you to be. Pastor Tim, if you'd look into that camera and please pray, and we'll close.
Well, Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we have a great high priest that's unlike any other. Father, that you have sent your son, and Lord, that he has completed the work that gains and gives us access into the heavenly realm. Lord, we just ask right now that this reality and the blessings and the identity that comes from knowing you, Lord, would pass into each and every one that hears this. Lord, that they would understand who they are in Christ Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Father, we thank you that you're making known to each and every one, Father, that as a king and a priest, Father, we can go in, and Lord, we can have the success that we would anticipate and hope for, Lord, as king, but also as the priest, because we're our great high priest is always interceding, has never failed, and will never fail. Because of that, we have hope, and we just pray that the blessings and the hope of this truth, Lord, would manifest itself deep within our hearts. And Father, we pray your richest blessings upon each and every one. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen.
In Yeshua's mighty name. Thank you so much for joining us. Please, if you'll go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Also, you can become a member for $2.99 a month and get a prophetic word from me every week. Those prophetic words will help you in this transition. I pray for you as a king and a priest that you would advance in everything that you do. Remember that the kingdom of God is the increasing kingdom of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion, no mistaking, the King of the Jungle. And when he roars over your life, he roars over it and roars in you. Let the roar of the Lion of Judah roar in you. Let the authority and the boldness be released in your life this year, 5785, the year of the King and the Priest. Shabbat Shalom.